Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jay Cross, how good would you say you are at the guitar?
I would say I...
Your three choices are beginner,
yes,
intermediate,
yes,
or advanced.
Probably beginner.
Okay, excellent. How would you like to move up to intermediate?
I'd really like to be an intermediate guitar player. That's the only thing I've ever wanted to be.
Good. That's about as far as you'll get.
Yes.
Unless you use Guitar Tricks.
Okay, tell me more.
Guitar Tricks is an excellent website to teach you how to move from beginner to intermediate to advanced guitar.
Okay.
Whether you're just starting out or whether, you know, you should be better than you are.
Like me.
Indeed.
Yes.
Guitar Tricks will help you move through those stages as a guitar player. And good for you, Jay Cross. We have worked together with Guitar Tricks to bring a 14-day free trial to not only you, but to the listeners of the Guitar Nerds podcast.
So that means I can try it for 14 days, and if I'm not into it, just cancel it.
You can, indeed.
But I'm probably going to be into it.
I think you probably will.
Okay.
You'll notice a swift advancement of your guitar skills.
Excellent.
So do you want to know where you can get this offer?
Where can you get the offer?
GuitarNerds.net/guitar tricks.
Can you repeat that for me?
I can. GuitarNerds.net/guitar tricks.
Is there like an app that you can use, or do you have to do it on your computer?
GuitarNerds.net/guitar tricks. And welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham, joined this evening by Jay Cross.
Hello.
And Joe Branton.
Hola.
You're sounding in fine form this evening.
Yeah.
How you both doing?
Jay? Good, thank you. I just muted my computer in time.
Good.
I nearly forgot to do it, and then you would have heard you coming out. We had you coming out both ear rolls.
No one wants that.
No one wants that. Good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, very good, thanks. Very good. Hello to everyone joining us on the live stream, youtube.com/guitar nerds. If you're joining us this evening,
hello.
Jay is going to be in the chat and he is going to be talking to you about the things we're talking about. Joe Branton, how are you?
Yeah, really good. Oh my goodness.
What?
Well, should we even go around the room and talk about how we are? Because
there's
a lot to fit in this podcast. This week is a big, important week.
It's always worth catching up. Just check that we're okay and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I'm good. Mainly because
of this
it's
week.
It's NAMM week.
It is NAMM week. We've got a bumper podcast coming up with all the news NAMM. Yeah, well, it'll be the normal podcast, but we're not doing questions. We're not doing brand of the week.
So why is it bumper?
Like big.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I think it's just like special.
Yeah, just like, you know, when you get a bumper quiz book when you go on holiday to Cornwall with your parents, but you're like 14 and bored.
Bookboard.
Bookboard. So, yeah, all good. Obviously, no Matt Knight again this week. He is still, I think he's in Las Vegas.
He is. He placed his first bet.
Yeah, did you see that? He and Jay from Boss posted a video of them placing their first ever bet.
Ooh,
which was, they put 20 quid on black. On a roulette machine, and on a roulette.
Did they get it back?
They won. They won.
Nice.
Well, they win.
They won all of it.
Oh, look, this is cool. It's just come up saying on my phone, I should have had this on an airplane, but I didn't. It's just come up saying Guitar Nerds is now live on YouTube, which doesn't normally happen.
There we go. Nice. So that's that is nice good. Indeed.
Good to know.
So, yes, hello to YouTubers. Yeah, no, Matt Nikes, he's still out. He's going to be back next week.
But you're not going to be here
bit
next
of business,
week.
Yeah, before we start. Next week, I'm on Monday. I'm probably still going to be in a lot of pain. Hospital trip on Friday. Gallbladder removed.
Having the snip.
Yep, that is it. I'm having the snip and having my gallbladder removed via said snip. And so, yeah, next week I'm out, and I guess you're going to be in charge of the show, Joe, which is just the worst.
Oh, yeah. It probably won't even happen.
Yeah, so, the worst thing is that you probably won't edit it, and I'll still edit it from
that is the plan. I'm going to drop
bed.
Off the
I might do. To be honest, I might actually be
edited.
Too sick. You might have to do it, so.
I don't care.
We'll
You're
see.
Not going to be too sick. Having a gallbladder out is like a really standard run-of-the-mill thing. It's just you're incredibly melodramatic.
I've got to take, like, I've got a rest for, like, 10 days or 2 weeks or something. Anyway, so yeah, enjoy me while you can, because next week I won't be here, but Matt Knight will be back to talk all things from his trip, NAMM. But we're going to cover in this podcast the news from NAMM. Do you want to do a jingle?
Well, you haven't asked Jay how he is.
Yeah, I did. He said he's fine.
Oh, did
he? Said he's in the chat. Do you listen to this? Even while, I mean, I understand if you don't listen to the episodes, because, you know, I don't, you're probably listening to, like, I don't know, some
I do listen to it.
Podcasts.
I make super cuts of just when I talk and listen back to that.
Exactly. Do you even listen when we're talking in the room, though?
Sometimes I actually listen back to the podcast and stuff gets said, and I realise that I wasn't listening to what was being said whilst it was being said, and then I just talked over it.
That's funny, because quite often I'll listen to the podcast and I'll be like, right, that's Mark. That's me. That's... Who's that other fella?
Oh, he's a knob.
And it's only when you show up on a Monday evening, I'm like, oh, it's Joe. Nah. It's like I live in Memento.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just popping in and out of our consciousness, and that's probably the best way. So, do you want to do a jingle then?
Yeah, sure.
NAMM Nudes.
For the uninitiated, NAMM is the big trade show in Anaheim, California, towards the end of January every year.
Winter NAMM.
Winter NAMM. There's
the
also
the biggest trade show in the land.
I don't think it's the biggest trade show ever.
Well,
for guitars and stuff, definitely.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Musical instruments.
Literally nothing else matters. Can you imagine how boring a trade show on something that's not guitars must be?
I don't need to imagine. I've been to a number of them.
Oh, yeah. Imagine a trade show for headphones.
No, they're good.
Think about
headphone
more
shows
boring.
Are good.
No. Well, the thing is they're not really headphone shows. It's like consumer electronics. So you can be in one place and there's like people just listening to headphones. It's really quiet. And then you walk around the corner and there's people demonstrating like the power of food blenders. And then there'll be a washing machine company who's put together a showpiece washing machine that's like 10 foot tall.
Yeah.
Like I went to this one in Germany at the back end of last year, and it was absolutely bonkers. Just the some of the stuff that they had there, like loads of drones
everywhere.
And people who like don't really know how to, the footage that I've seen from them, and maybe it's just that's the footage that we've seen, but it, like, everybody looks pretty switched on. They look like they know what they're doing. Like, it all looks pretty cool. It's like, this trade show that I went to at some point last year, I walked past a booth that was for an epilator aimed at women, and there were five geezers stood there with clipboards waiting for people to walk in so they could talk to them about these epilators. Like, the least welcoming looking sight I could ever imagine if I wanted to buy an epilator.
Epilator's a hair thing, right?
That's right, yeah.
Were all the fellas bald?
I don't remember, but that would be good.
Yeah, good. Anyway, should we talk about some proper news?
Yeah, yeah.
So lots of things have come out over the last sort of 3 days. We're Monday, NAMM started on Thursday, but there was some stuff that leaked out before. So what I thought we'd do is just go through them, talk about what we know, and then next week you guys can fill in the blanks with Matt Knight as the coolest things that he saw. Yeah. So first up, Fender announced a brand new range of guitars, the Exotic Series. What are we saying? What's the deets, Joe Branton?
I don't think I've ever seen a range of guitars miss the mark more than the Fender Exotic Series.
You're crazy.
Probably the most disappointing NAMM thing. No, I think it was, because there were so many other great things. There were so many other like brilliant things that were happening.
But Fender did all their business before NAMM, really, didn't they?
Released a sub-quality brand, sub-quality range of a range they used to do that was good.
No, they're not sub-quality. They look wicked.
I'm talking about the professionals.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant the Squires.
No, professionals look great. What are you talking about? The Ocean Mist, Jaguar and Jazzmaster?
No, they're a waste of time. But the the Exotic Series. So what Fender have done is it's something like, is it 13 guitars? I can't remember how many.
Something like that, yeah.
I think it's 13, like 12 and a bass, I think. But it's the theme, as you might have guessed, is exotic woods.
It is.
And they have sourced some interesting ones. There's some Malaysian Blackwood on a Stratocaster.
Richard Blackwood.
Yes.
Okay.
On a Stratocaster, which looks gorgeous, like a really nice kind of similar vibe to Koa, that sort of thing, looks wise. I mean, I don't know anything about the wood. I imagine there's a perfectly good reason that it's not used as a tone wood, so I'm sure it's not going to sound superior. It looks like it could weigh a ton, but of course, you know, how could we tell from what it looks like?
Yeah.
And they haven't released the weight of it. Lots of like mahogany, a number of mahogany things, but most interestingly,
I think this is the one that I'm most curious about.
The pine. They've released a range of pine guitars, but I mean that might, you know, you think, well, pine is of course a cheap, you know, low quality wood used for cheap furniture. So why would it be a tone wood? This happens to be they purchased this wood from I can't remember the name of the company, but it's from a furniture company, an American furniture company, and the pine in question is 100 years old.
Who wouldn't want that in a guitar?
So, like, of course, they're replicating this thing that they've done before, because they did the
old barn and the old
barn
bridge.
And the bridge, yeah. Those were quite cool, because you had sort of like the hole. There was like, we had a Strat, didn't we, in the shop
that had
a hole in it.
Where the part of the barn had been constructed.
Yeah, exactly.
That was super cool.
That was cool. Really cool. Like those salvaged woods, you know, is it similar to the to what other companies have done with their, you know, with the Swamp Ash?
Yeah.
And it's like, granted, these exotic woods, like, not for me personally.
No.
But it is.
Have you seen the telly? Have you seen how good the telly looks?
Resent. Like, pine is not an exotic wood, even if it's 100 years old. And the fact is, you know what antique pine looks like?
Yeah, but it's easy just to build that into, like, the same series, though. They're not going to pine. You've got to give them a slight break. They've got to give them a name.
I appreciate that. But the pine ones especially, you know how antique pine in furniture looks? You know how bad it looks?
No.
Antique pine looks bad, right?
No, those guitars
look
great. It looks
like granny
flat. They look great.
No. They don't. The antique pine looks like granny flat antique pine. It looks rubbish. They've done a Tele, a Strat, and a Jazzmaster in antique pine. And the worst bit about it is they've put American. They're not like some special range, because they're all from different ranges. So they are American professionals.
Yeah.
So it's just the standard neck. So the only thing different about it is the granny wood body.
Well, you've overlooked a slight detail there, Joe Branton. In what is obviously the best one, the Tele. They've put a Charlie Christensen humbucker in the neck, which is awesome. Like, when was the last time you saw Fender with, like... Well, I can't ever remember seeing a Fender with that type of pickup in the neck. It looks absolutely fantastic. So, kind of that... I guess it's like a jazz-style humbucker.
Yeah.
The most famous use of one is in John Lennon's Les Paul Junior, or Les Paul Special, that he used in his last gig. And I think that's just a cool looking guitar. That's going to be an awesome sounding guitar.
Yeah, sure.
What I don't get about you, Branton, is that if it was Ibanez who had done the same thing, exotic woods, we've got an old Japanese barn that we've taken down, we've built this amazing bass out of it, it's got two strings and one of them only goes halfway up the
completely.
Neck.
Completely. Almost a complete... Like a complete reaction to your complaints a couple of weeks ago.
Do you know what? If Ibanez had done it, they would have done it well. They wouldn't have shoved some cheap maple neck on this antipod. It's such a bitzer.
Yeah, but that's what Fender necks are.
Yeah, no, but they could have done, if they wanted to do an exotic series, do an exotic neck. Like, yes, look at Ibanez. Look at what Ibanez are putting out for £1,000, which is less than any of these guitars. They're doing like 8-piece Venge Babinga neck with maple boards.
No one wants that on a telly.
Well,
you've got to make the guitar for the audience.
Well, exactly. Then what are Fender doing dipping into exotic woods? It's just ridiculous.
No, they look great. They look great.
No,
anyway.
A terrible series.
So a range of Strats, a range of Tellys, the Jazzmaster, and there's a bass as well, right? It's a Jazz.
I literally don't care.
Right, okay, fine. We should move on before Branton's head explodes. Okay, something to get you actually excited, and I think both of you will be super excited by this. Ernie Ball, Music Man, Sterling have announced the St. Vincent Signature, bringing one of our favourite guitars of the last few years over to a kind of more affordable price point, which we think is something like $739.
No,
have you got
Have you? Yes, yes, only in dollars.
Yeah,
I thought they were like $700.
$599.
$599
wow, okay. In dollars.
So that's about £599.
Absolutely,
yeah, that's
mad.
That's amazing.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, I'm 100% sure. Okay. I got it straight from Strings and Things.
Oh, okay.
I'm so excited about this. Like everything looks amazing. So as far as I can tell, it's a fairly standard sort of cutback. You haven't lost a huge amount. Obviously, you haven't got the full rosewood neck.
No, that's right.
Like the one piece rosewood neck and headstock. That's
the
been
bridges,
cut back.
The bridges stock as well. The trem.
Right.
It's like
okay.
A stock thing because you know it's quite a weird, interesting design.
Yeah. It's gonna be like a Strat trem or something. Basically,
It's not quite. It's still something like Music Man-y, but it's not as posh as the trem that was on that.
Okay.
And the pickups will be stocked. There's very
I'm sure there will be. Yeah. And it looks like, from what I can see, there's only going to be the two colours. There's
going
to be blue and black.
Which are the original colours?
The original two colours.
From the 2015 release.
I'm so excited about it. I think it's amazing.
There's still mini humbuckers though, right?
There's still mini humbuckers.
If you wanted to, you could switch those out with some Duncans or something
of course.
That. So, yeah, interesting.
I think this is brilliant. Like, in the same way that the original one was great, but it was over $2,000. And there are a lot of people out there that can't afford it, but also like not everyone's fussed about like a solid rosewood neck.
Yeah, completely.
And if that's really the main thing that's changing on this to bring it down to, of course, I appreciate it's now Far Eastern built, like
it's not
put together in America, but well, actually, it might still be teched in America.
I think they do set up, don't they? Yeah. I think,
but I think amazing, like amazing. Those two colours as well, the black and the. I wish they'd done black plate on the back,
like the stealth one they do in the, because they also announced some more colours, didn't they, on the Music
Man
model,
which we covered a couple of weeks ago.
It always bemused me a little bit that they've bought this guitar that, you know, part of the charm of it is, you know, it's quite inspiring and there's a story behind it, and you know, it's made for her frame, and obviously, you know, there's been a big push towards the kind of to women guitar players. But then the guitar that they bought out was like £2,000,
which is not super accessible.
It'd be like if Fender did the Tom DeLonge, but they only did like a custom shop one.
Well,
that's right.
Like what Gibson did when they released
the
Tom DeLonge.
The headphone, you know.
Well, the Gibson was first, though.
That's true. But yeah, I mean, so the reason those guitars got so popular, and probably part of his appeal as a guitarist, is that those guitars were £400 or something, and then they did a Squire one as well. So, yeah, so interesting. What would be even more interesting is if they do an even cheaper one. If they do, because do they still do sub guitars?
Sub by Sterling still exists.
Yeah. They might do a sub.
I've actually been really impressed with the quality of the guitars that come out of the sub series. I think when you try and make an active bass for that sort of price point, you're going to struggle, which they do. I don't think much of their Stingray bass versions, but the guitars that they've released in sub by Sterling have been cracking.
Yeah. So very, very encouraging. Are you going to pick one up, Joe Branton?
I think it is possible. Yeah.
Okay.
For that sort of money, I think it's such a piece of, it's such a modern classic. It's such a piece of future history that I think I would like to have one, just, you know, to have been there when it first came out.
Yeah. I think they're super exciting. I'd be interested to see whether they're going to release a gig bag for it. That's always the issue for like.
I reckon that'll go in a normal gig bag.
Yeah, probably. You're not going to get a huge amount of protection.
There,
yeah, it's always the thing when you get guitars that are like, you know, non-standard shape or like, you know, a long way off of being a standard shape.
Yeah,
it's like
finding
a gig bag that's gonna. It's like, okay, cool, Gator Extreme. Yeah, Gator Extreme.
No,
I mean, it'll fit in a sling gig bag.
Never the Gator Extreme.
But you know, it's that sort of thing. Like, quite what they will do. I can't see them including a gig bag.
Maybe. I think they would, don't they? With the other models, though, I'm sure the other Sterlings.
Some of them, but
I think you get a gig bag.
Yes, some of the Sterlings. Yeah, I think normally they do actually, but also normally they're a couple of hundred quid more. Like, this is an amazing price point.
Mm.
they could have released this for exactly as you thought, $750, and would have been saying exactly the same things about it. I think at $599 in dollars, which actually currently is probably more.
£599. No, well, no, it might be more, yeah. Yeah. Might be more pounds than it is dollars, once you factor in the tax and stuff, maybe. Yeah. So
an interesting point that's come up in the YouTube chat here is Ashton Tucker Music has said, if only they now go for... If only they do the same with the Valentine.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's interesting. Mm. Like, you do wonder whether the Ernie Ball were going to be able to use this as a springboard to kind of... Because this is their most popular guitar, but I mean, in terms of hype anyway, for years and years and years. If they can use this to springboard the entire range. Yeah. And, maybe if this... I really hope this succeeds, because I'd love to see some, like, Sterling Albert Lees. Yeah. Sterling Valentine's, bring out some of those models in the Far East. People will buy them.
They did do some of this. This was all on their NAMM stand. They brought out Sterling, not those in particular, but definitely expanding the Sterling range. Yeah. They brought out Sterling JPs with full rosewood necks.
What?
Yeah, Sterlings.
Nice.
So, I mean, I didn't get a price point for them. I imagine they're more, but certainly Sterling as a range seems to be expanding, because certainly Music Man, that is the only thing with Music Man, is you are looking at Fender Custom Shop prices a lot of the time for a standard model from Music Man. So I think it's really important for them to take advantage of that sort of £500 to £1,000 market.
Definitely, there's room for them to expand into affordable stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, what would you say if I said it was the best of times, it was the Electro-Harmonix blast of times?
This pedal looks so completely bananas.
Yeah.
I'm going to need you to explain it to me, because this one passed me by.
This is like peak Electro-Harmonix.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, go ahead, Mark.
Do you know what? It was one of the first things that I kind of put up on the Guitar Nerds page, and I can't remember exactly what it is, but it is very much a noise making pedal with some super cool graphics. It's like I forget how they describe it, like a harmonic modulator or something like that. Joe, do you want to just get the deets up there?
But
it's like, it was one of the things that got announced beforehand, and I was kind of like, oh yeah, no, this looks super, super cool. We're struggling to get some deets up there.
I've got no internet.
Okay, you can hear me fumbling. But yeah, basically like another classic Electro-Harmonix noisemaker. It's got some, like, yeah, they describe it as a harmonic modulator. Get the deets and we'll talk about that one. But the other thing that they announced is the Operation Overlord,
which is
a new JFET drive pedal, named after a particular military operation, I believe. That looks super cool. There's no sound clips of that one yet, but they just showed the build. So modulated filter is what they're calling it, is that right?
Yeah.
Give us some deets on the blast.
So it's described as a radical modulating filter.
It looks radical.
Yeah, and it takes its inspiration from an effect mostly used for synthesizers, but with some features that make it suitable for guitarists and bass players who want to explore sonic territory. So,
do you
want
to explore sonic territory?
I always want to. I mean, this sounds like something right up Juan Aldrete's street. I'm sure he'll have one soon.
He's very much about exploring the territory.
I don't understand what it does sound wise to you. So you get like a low pass filter with an adjustable resonance.
Isn't it just a filter that you can modulate the filter, basically?
Oh, man, this sounds great. Yeah, I'm into this.
I think you should get one for your board.
Yeah. That sounds cool.
Definitely. So some new stuff from Electro-Harmonix. They're both in the, what do they call the bigger size? The Neo size, is it?
Because it's not the Nano. Neo.
Yeah, the Neo size. So, not particularly small, but still pedal board friendly. And, I'm sure they'll be extremely affordable. But the Blurst looks super cool. And the sound samples they put up are super cool, so definitely worth checking out. So let's move on. More big news on the amplifier front, the Orange Rocker combos.
This is not just big news, this is massive, massive news.
Give us the deets.
So Orange have released two new amps. What's most important is that they are not quite reissues, but returning to the Rocker range. The Rocker was a really popular range that Orange released in the late 90s, and it carried through into sort of the bulk of the 2000s, and it was... The Rocker series was kind of one of Orange's best affordable like 30 watt amp heads. And
that was the Rockers were where I kind of remember the series coming back, because they did those before Rocker Verbs, which is the one that became super famous. But yeah, Orange kind of didn't do anything for a long time, as far as I'm aware, and then brought the Rocker series back.
And the Rocker series
kickstarted everything again.
They were affordable. They were like sub £700. People could buy them. They sound amazing. Like they are. They're very sort of sought after. I think now, even that they're discontinued, the guitarist in my band sort of swears by his. But yeah, they've reissued them as combos. And what the aide? I always forget his last name.
Edmondson.
No, you're no help at all. But the so sort of the design director at Orange was saying in an interview that he kept getting asked to reissue them, and he also kept getting asked to make a smaller version.
Yeah.
And so he didn't want to do just a straight reissue. He wanted to, you know, look forward. So he released the a 15 watt version of the Rocker in a combo, in a 112 combo. But what's really cool is they've put 15 watts down to 7, down to 1, down to half a watt.
Yeah.
So it's an all-rounder. And because it's Orange, that 15 watts is really, really loud. It's two channels, so you've got natural and you've got the dirty channel, which are the same as the original Rockers. The difference is the natural channel now, they've lost the EQ for it, and the sort of input-output. So it's just one volume control for the natural, but it's voiced for that sort of very middle-heavy presency Orange sound, which is super cool. And what's nice is you get so much room, so much headroom from the natural channel, that it works quite well as actually using it to load up all your pedals on the natural channel.
That's kind of how they're selling it, aren't they?
Including
they're selling
your
it as
drives.
A very good pedal platform,
exactly, including your drives. And actually you use the natural channel as your drive channel, and then use the dirty channel as like a sort of a bluesy, because it can clean up quite well because you've got the full EQ on the
dirty channel. A crunch. So two versions, 15 and the Orange Rocker 15 and Orange Rocker 32.
And the 32 is important because it's so super unique, because it's not just it's a stereo amp, which is great. So it's a 210, but don't let that worry you. It doesn't sound at all like a 210, because they've worked out a way to. I don't understand much about speakers, but they've added a cathode in the output,
okay,
of the speakers that enhances the, or puts back in a lot of the low end.
Okay,
you
interesting.
Don't get
right,
in 10. So
is that 30 watts down to 15 down to 7?
I don't know. I think it has some attenuation on it, but I'm
but
not sure.
Is it how it's 30 rather than 15?
It's 30 watts, but it's essentially two 15 watts running independently through one control, because you have two loops on them. So the idea is you can do one of two things. You can either, obviously now you can run things like your Strymon Big Sky through the stereo loop on the amp and actually get a stereo sound from a really convenient combo. And that's sort of again what Aid said he was going for. We wanted something that people could carry around easily that would actually do everything. The other thing I think's really cool, and that I kind of prefer to the stereo effect thing, because I did that's cool, but it's kind of like, it's a bit like, if you just have that one trick, it's great. But the other thing you can do is the more vintage way of how effects, stereo effects loops used to work, which is to run one of the speakers clean and then have your pedals going through the other one, so you always get your dry signal with
which is how a jazz chorus works, right? One of the speakers is the affected speaker and one of them's dry,
which I love. I love the idea of that. So I think and price is great on both, like sub £600 for the 15
and sub 8 9 for 8 or 9. I can't remember exactly how it's
just under 9.
Sorry, I was caught up doing something on here in the chat. Did you mention that I'm sure you did, that it's a stereo effects loop? Cool, sorry. That was the big thing for me. Sorry, I completely missed most of that conversation. But that's the big thing for me. The fact that you can do that, is I don't think there's anything on the market currently that will do that.
I think you're right.
Yeah, I think it's a massive deal. I think this is a great amp. It's so on the money of like what people want. It has
completely
everything.
Small attenuator takes pedals really well.
You know, the only thing they need is a head.
That's true. Yeah,
which I wouldn't be surprised if they do at some point. Maybe Music Messer. Yeah. They're bound to, aren't they?
Sure.
You know,
loads of people will want that.
Absolutely.
Do you,
yeah. It's like when you when books are released as hardbacks.
And you're like, oh, come on.
Don't make me buy this on the Kindle. Don't make me get it on the Kindle.
No one wants it on the Kindle.
Soft
cover. It's the first amp for a while that's made me think, I quite want a new amp.
We're getting some to demo, aren't we?
Yeah, well, I think we're going to... Well, not to keep. They're going to send some down for us to try and do the demo and send back to us.
Because stock landed in shops today. So...
Good. Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll definitely have a demo video coming up. Mm. One more release from Orange, the Kongpressor.
Oh yeah, I mean, let's move on to the other.
Really? Have you heard the Kongpressor?
Well, they're not an effects company. So.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's a great compressor.
Okay, good. Good to know. Let's talk about some things that generally are great. Generally and genuinely are great. New signature models from Reverend Guitars. J Cross, you're a fan of Reverend. What have they got?
I tell you what, I'm not a huge fan of Reverend.
Yeah, you are.
No, he fought against them.
Oh, yeah, you're
right.
I'm not a huge
fan of Reverend. However...
You didn't like the Billy Corgan.
I didn't like the Billy Corgan.
Because you are a Luddite and a loser.
No, I didn't like the Billy Corgan. I didn't think it was anywhere near as good as everyone was saying it was going to be. However, the three signature models that Reverend have released...
Billy Corgan, Darcy Retzky,
yeah.
And... That other fella,
okay.
Whose name I can't remember.
I'm really excited about these three
Billy Corgan,
so
Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy.
The big one that I think everybody's going to be super excited about, I mean, I'm definitely really excited about, is the Mike Watt Watt Plower, I think
yeah,
is
it's
what
the
it's
Watt
called.
Plower.
Is that what it's
called? Yeah, that's
yeah,
what it's
the
called.
The Watt Plower. So Mike Watt is one of the most important bass players of all time, I would go so far as to say.
I bet Joe Brandt's never heard of him.
Yeah, no. Probably not. So he was the bass player in the Minutemen, who were like one of the most important punk bands of all time, and he's now in the Stooges, but he has done loads of other stuff, you know, in a sort of 40-year career. And yeah, he has got... He's been playing EBOs or EB3s. He always used to play like... sort of big heavy jazz and P basses, and as he's got older, he just said like, I just can't hold him anymore. I'm playing in Stooges, playing like 2 hours, I can't do it. So he's got something lighter, he's been playing in Gibson EB3s or EBOs, and Reverend came to him and they said like, look, we want to make you a bass that you're going to really like. And he was like, oh, I'm not really sure about it, don't really like the idea of having like my name on something because I might not play it, blah 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 blah. Apparently it took 4 years for Reverend to, like, going back and forth anytime he was through on tour. Eventually they got the bass that, it looks incredible. Like, the video demo that Reverend put out was just him playing it with loads and loads of distortion on it.
Yeah.
So it's difficult to see, it's difficult to know exactly how good it's going to sound, but I think it looks absolutely incredible. Joe, what's your first impressions?
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, it's okay.
Isn't it a shorter scale? Is that right?
It looks short scale. Yeah.
It's EB3 or EBO scale.
Yeah.
Okay,
what's 30 that? Inch scale, which
right?
Is short.
Yeah.
Single P bass pickup. Just volume and tone.
Yeah.
It's kind of got a sort of Yamaha-y vibe to the body. I think.
Yeah, sort of Yamaha SG style.
Yeah.
Good, decent bridge on it.
Yeah.
Weird jack input.
No, I like that. That's the most basic. Jack input just straight in the front.
Yeah, but it's got like a big
like plate around
cover.
It. Well, I think the idea is, you know, Mike Watt has done a lot of gigs and done a lot of traveling, so that bass is probably indestructible, yeah. I would imagine. So, the only thing I don't like is it says Watt Plower on the 12th fret. Like, for someone who didn't want their name on a signature model, that he's gone for the most signature-y signature model. So,
yeah.
I mean, it looks cool. It looks all right. I'm not especially into it. I think, it does look a little bit Yamaha-y.
It's got a very much
Yamaha
vibe.
I like the bridge. It's hip shot hardware on there, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it looks pretty, pretty nice. So, Jay, what are the other two signature models?
So, there's two other signature models. One is, I can't remember the guy's name. Where's he gone? Kyle Shute. From
okay.
The Sword, who you, I'm sure you're a big fan of The Sword.
Yeah, I love that. Love all that. They're a hardcore band, right?
They're like a metal band more than they are a hardcore band. But this looks really interesting.
I really like it.
It's semi-hollow, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Using rail hammers again. Rail hammer pickup, so two rail hammer humbuckers. If people don't remember...
Bit of a story behind that. So on his guitar, from what I can remember, you have to correct me, he was already using a
Reverend.
And was using swapped the pickups out for something in particular, and he's worked with them on these pickups to basically design exactly what he wanted. So they're rail hammers, but they're a signature model for him.
When you explain to people what rail hammers are, if they didn't hear us
half,
talking about it before.
Yeah, again, this is a similar pickup to the one that's on the Billy Corgan, which is kind of half P90, half humbucker, which sounded absolutely fantastic on the Billy Corgan. Mm-hmm. I expect it will sound equally the same on the one for Mr. Shoot.
Yeah. Now, the way that they make them...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Half P90 and half humbucker isn't some weird sort of hybriding. It's literally splitting the pickup in half. So your lower three strings are dealt with on a bladed humbucker, and your top three strings are dealt with on a sort of large...
On pole pieces.
Pole piece P90.
Works very, very well.
I think
indeed.
It's a great idea. Why not have the best of both worlds?
So, Jay, what's the third signature model of
the
bunch?
The third signature model is Shade Balderose, who plays guitar in Code Orange,
which again has gone for rail hammers.
Yes, that seems
to be kind of the Reverend thing at the moment. Well, their signature models seem to be loaded with them.
As far as I'm aware, rail hammers are they're made by Reverend.
Oh yes, I know that. But it's, I just meant it's funny that like all the new signature models, people seem to be going for them.
They are evidently
a good and very versatile pickup.
Super versatile pickup. So I don't know, you wouldn't like it. I don't know if you've heard the Code Orange record. They used to be called Code Orange Kids. And they've grown up.
So they're just Code Orange.
The new record's really good. I was listening to it today, actually, coincidentally. It's not like... A lot of people are saying that they reckon it's going to be like one of the best heavy records of the year.
Oh, cool.
It's not like... They sound a bit like Converge. That's like an easy, boring reference point. But there's lots of like harmonics going on there, which is why I think the mixture of the two pickup sounds works really well for this guitar specifically, because they're quite... You know, there's quite a lot of going on down with like lower tunings, but then a lot of like harmonics and stuff that they need for the higher stuff. So it's cool, really interesting guitar. The guitar kind of looks a bit like a Jaguar or a Jazzmaster.
I was going to say
with a reverse headstock.
Which is sort of their standard shape, isn't it? That sort of weird.
Well, no, normally they're a bit more. Normally they're a bit more kind of rounded at the bottom than this. I guess it's only really the Billy Corgan that takes that shape. Like if you look at their, I forget what the name of their standard model is now, but that's got like kind of jazz mastery things on the top horns, but then it actually kind of rounds out a bit of the bottom. So it's a cool take. And what, three controls on there? Volume tone, I think.
Although actually, just going back to the Cole Shoots, there is four controls, which is I think the first time Reverend have done that.
Oh no, because it's not volume tone, is it? It's their the bass filter, the same thing that was on the Billy Corgan. That's
right. Okay.
Yeah. That's on all of their models except for one of these signature
the Carl
models,
Shoots.
Which I think is the Carl Shoot, which doesn't have that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, interesting. So more good stuff from Reverend in the new year. They also put out some like limited edition stuff as well, but I don't have the details of that here. But the signature models are all super cool. Let's talk about some more signature model stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The Black Country Customs. I think that's right,
yeah,
isn't
that's
it?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Tony Iommi signature. So this is...
By Lainey.
Lainey in disguise, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
From what I can gather...
Well, it's not in disguise. It says Lainey on the head and on the amp.
It does, but if you look at how they're promoting it, they're actually not promoting it as a Lainey amp. They're promoting it as Black Country Customs,
right.
Which I think is, by the looks of it, it's some of the engineers from Lainey still working for Lainey in a little kind of weird splinter group. Making this it's two products, isn't it? Or three products if you... So what it is basically the cab and head, or a recreation of the cab and head used on the first Black Sabbath record, and a new pedal that basically apes the Rangemaster pedal that Tony Iommi used.
But they come as a set. They're sold as a set. So it's the pedal, the amp, the cab and the head.
Yes.
Sold together. Yeah.
Yeah.
The pedal, the amp, the cab and the head.
Pedal,
so the pedal,
the head and the cab.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's three things.
Yeah.
So these look super, super cool. They're, I mean, Lainey are a bit of a weird company. You know, we've talked about, like, all the different stuff that they do from, you know, like the Lionhearts, Ironhearts, the studio stuff that they do. They've kind of not done any... For me, they haven't really done any, like, headline products over the last few years. They've done good series, but...
I think Lionheart and Ironheart were, like, that was Lainey...
At their best, yeah.
Yeah, those two series were perfect for the two different audiences.
Completely.
And they totally read the market.
They really did, they really did. I think Lainey stumbled a little bit when they pushed the production of the Lionheart series out of Birmingham into the Far East.
They changed the speaker, didn't they?
They changed a few bits and pieces, and I think a lot of people felt a little bit let down by it because they didn't sort of make a big deal out of the fact that they'd done it, and I think people felt like they'd sort of been a little bit sneaky. The Ironheart stuff had always been produced in the Far East, and I think is some of the best like metal amps that you can get, especially at like that sort of sub £1,000 range.
With the IRT Studio for $399, I think. I mean, I harp on about it all the time, but I really love the IRT studio, I think like a home studio, that is, you just get that is your perfect home studio.
What's the little breakout box called?
The IRT Pulse.
Yeah. See, I remember when Mark and I went up to the Lainey warehouse, well, factory, I guess, not really a factory, but their distribution point. They had this little box, and I was like, I don't care. They were trying to make a really big deal out of it, and I was like, I do not care about some pony breakout box that you've got.
Oh, it's an audio interface, isn't
it? And they plugged it in, and it sounded absolutely incredible. Blew me away. That Ironheart range, I really feel like they should have put a bit more behind in the marketing. It just sort of came out and was popular because it's popular on merit, and it didn't get as much.
Don't forget, they also did the PA speaker amp. As well,
they've done.
They?
Oh yeah, they did.
The wedge,
the FRFR, whatever. The Ironheart. Yeah, Matty had one. The IRT something FRFR.
Again, another completely brilliant idea.
Yeah, I mean, I think Lainey's problem is they've not had many headline grabbing products over there. They've done some really good stuff, all fairly under the radar. Whereas this, I think, because they've gone, it's not Lainey. It's like this elite group of Lainey engineers working as like whatever they call Black Country Customs, making an exact replica of Tony Iommi's original rig. It sounds so good, honestly.
It's gonna be,
listen to the YouTube video. It sounds great.
I mean, if they made it sound like, I mean, that first record sounded amazing, and if they've got something that sounds anything like that, then this is gonna be brilliant. The problem, they obviously haven't announced any pricing for this yet, and I think we'll be having a very different conversation.
Well, I think so. I mean, but they are also, I can't remember how many they're making, but they're a limited number. They're going to be a very sort of special collector's piece, but cool thing to kind of put Lainey back on the map, you know. So good stuff. Let's talk about some...
What are, because we're getting to a point now where there is going to be some stuff we miss out.
Well, what I was thinking is we could just carry this over to the Patreon episode full time.
But there are some things we definitely should
One thing I definitely want to talk about is the new MXR Dunlop and Way Huge pedals. Jim Dunlop always make a bit of a splash, and they always bring out loads and loads of new stuff, and it's often difficult to keep up. This year has been kind of manageable, actually, in that there's been some kind of reworking of older pedals, and there's been some new Hendrix-branded stuff, which we kind of know what that is.
I think what's quite cool, just to quickly touch on the Hendrix stuff, as far as I can tell, it's the fuzz faces in proper boxes.
Yes.
In, like, pedalable for any boxes, which I think is absolutely wonderful, because those mini fuzz faces are just, they look super cute, don't get me wrong, they look super cute, but like, what a noise.
So useless on a
board.
What
a noise.
A proper noise to put on the board. So basically, yeah, they've repackaged those with kind of just in nice usable boxes. So what have we got there? We've got two different fuzzes, the Univibe and the Octavia, is that right?
You tell me.
Well, I thought you had the details there, Joe Branton.
Yeah, fine. It's the sub-octave bass fuzz. I don't know. Yeah.
I know that there was the Band of Gypsies.
That's right, yeah. There's two different fuzzes.
Oh, yeah, Gypsy Fuzz, a Fuzz Face, the Univibe, and the Octavia.
Yes, yeah. Right. Yeah. And they've also done a Crybaby Mini, but with the Hendrix voicing.
What a black top.
I think that is one of the best wires that they've
done
for a long, long time, that Hendrix wire. And now they've put it in the Crybaby Mini chassis, which...
I love the Mini chassis.
The Mini's way better.
We spoke about it when they came out, but I don't know why it's only now.
Well, I think just if you sell Crybabies, like, don't mess with the formula,
I guess so, yeah.
I think so. All the new Hendrix stuff is interesting. A few new bits from MXR. Just again, they've done the Phase 95, but there's also now a mini Dynacomp.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Pretty much as you'd expect. Two knob though.
Yeah, which is the same as the Dynacomp. You're thinking the Supercomp, which is three control.
Yeah, I was thinking of a micro amp.
Right.
Which is one knob.
Yes,
and there's also not a compressor.
Yeah, that's correct.
But no, the Dynacomp, the Dynacomp is as it is on the original, on the standard model. But of course, I think that's a great idea because, you know, a compressor is kind of a set and forget pedal.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't want it to take up an awful lot of space.
What you do have on there, though, is different attack speed, which I don't think
you get
on a standard
Dynacomp. On the original. So they've got that on, that little push switch at the top.
I tell you what's weird about this that sort of caught me a little bit aside with this announcement is the fact that MXR have announced two of their pedals in mini form.
Yeah.
Only two.
Yeah.
Like, surely if you're going to do it,
do the range,
then just do all of them. Or do like...
Oh, I can imagine a carbon copy mini.
Well, completely.
Yeah.
Like a carbon copy mini or a microamp mini, I think would be a great shout.
I mean, just a leave on pedal, you know, that would be...
Absolutely. There are so many of those MXR pedals that, you know, they could put together like a bunch of like mini pedal boards.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
It would be, because they do the full range, you know, it'd be absolutely wonderful. I'm really surprised that they've only done those two. I'd be absolutely flabbergasted if we don't see a whole load more come throughout the next few months.
So the other one that they've released is the Phase, is it 95?
Yeah, Phase 95.
Which is the standard Phase 90, so the single control phaser. But again, they've added a couple of push-push switches. What are the push-push switches?
I can't remember. There's different voicings and stuff, which is why it's the Phase 95. That actually wasn't an AMP product. That's been out a little while.
Oh, has it?
Yeah,
oh,
it's been out a few, like a month or so, something like that.
Oh, okay.
And we did talk about it before, but I've already forgotten. I know for
the
a fact...
What?
Phase 95.
Right, yeah.
There's different voicings in there. There's like Phase 90, Phase 100 maybe.
Oh, cool.
And a couple of bits from Way Huge as well. In particular, the Russian Pickle, which looks awesome.
I mean, we all know what that's going to be.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a green three-knob box with slightly sort of Russian-looking writing on it.
I'm absolutely desperate to hear this. Yeah. I think it'll be great.
Yeah.
I do think that
would
be
good. I think it'll be overpriced.
So,
overpriced. What, in comparison to what? An actual Russian Big Muff.
Yeah, point.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Sorry to interrupt this no doubt awesome episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast, but I need to tell you about Patreon. Patreon is a place where you'll hear things like this.
What? Why are we putting an ad in the middle of the podcast?
And things like this. And things like this.
You know, I was... you're putting me on the spot.
From as little as $1 a month, you'll get this podcast ad-free, so you won't have to hear this.
Look, I can't think of anything to say. If you'd have prepped me about this, I'd have been, like, solid. I'd have been, like, making funny sort of witticisms.
And from as little as $5 a month, you'll get more of this.
I could talk about the quality of the Branton rant on. Oh, I get angry about things on that. Oh.
And from $10 a month, you'll get this.
Oh, I just read out names for $10 a month. It's actually terrible value for money.
Patreon.com/guitar nerds. So let's move on. What do you want to talk about? I think we should talk about the Line 6 Variax Shuriken.
Yes, I absolutely think we need to talk about the Line 6 Variax Shuriken. Actually, what we need to do is stop this podcast now, delete everything, start again, and do a podcast only on the Line 6 Variax Shuriken.
So as you seem quite enthusiastic about it, do you want to give us the lowdown? Are you enthusiastic in a good way or a bad way first? Or a bit of both?
Okay, so I like it when brands do stuff and you're like, well, you know, like sometimes we were talking just now about how Laney read the market and we're like, yes, Laney read the market and they made the Ironheart and the Lionheart. Line 6 have released the Variax Shuriken and I'm like, who wants this? Why is this a thing? I'm not saying it's a bad thing at all. I haven't heard it yet, and I don't want to pass judgment on anything until I hear it. But I love it as well.
Tell that to Fender about their Exotic series.
No, Fender can absolutely do one. Worst company out there. But the Line 6 Variax Shuriken. Get this. So it's a new body shape for them.
It looks a little bit like, what are those rubbish ones that you like? Strandberg.
No, it doesn't.
It's got a bit of a Strandberg vibe.
No, it doesn't. It's a modern body shape, and Mark only knows the name of one modern company, so he says it. It's a modern body shape, stealth black.
Yep. So matte black finish.
Yep. Matte black finish. Baritone scale length.
Yep.
Variax signature model for the guitarist from 12 Foot Ninja.
Okay. I don't know who 12 Foot Ninja are.
They are a jazz metal band.
Okay.
It has all the current Variax. So it's not an upgrade in Variax technology. It is the Variax as it stands in a new model in baritone scale length.
So, okay.
Stealth Black and... I think it's going to be about £1,600.
See, okay, so there was an interesting point that came up on the Guitar Nerds forum about this when it was announced. And I do apologise if you're listening. I can't remember who it was that brought it up, but I did think it was a very good point in that nobody has ever been... You either want the Variax technology or you don't.
Yeah.
You're not put off... In general, the reason that people don't buy... a Variax, irrespective of whether they want the technology or not, is because they look rubbish. Like, they look... Okay, maybe not rubbish, but they...
The latest ones don't look bad, because they're just Pacificas,
well,
basically.
Yeah, the Pacificas, absolutely, and I think that they are doing quite well. But, you know, those early ones, the 708, the 567, 800, like, they just looked bad.
Yeah.
And then the JTVs came out, and they were really cool guitars, like... You know, they were sort of... And I realise I'm just annoying you here because I'm saying that they looked like vintage guitars.
No, I thought they were actually... And I thought it was a James really smart... ones were good.
I thought it was a really smart move. And what they've done is they've gone, cool, so what we've done is we've got... People are buying Variaxes again. Do you think it's because we're using regular body shapes and because the price has gone down? No. No, the reason people like Variax is because they're Variax. Let's make a really expensive one that nobody's going to like the look of. That's what they've done, and it doesn't make any sense.
Who are 12 Foot Ninja, and why is it a baritone? And why is it a new body shape? It's got one humbucker in the bridge, and that's all. So it's actually like... So it makes it...
A bit worse.
It's for this genre. And I think the reason that you buy a Variax is obviously for versatility. Which, of course, you will still be able to make your guitar sound like a banjo. And that is actually the most appealing part of this. I really want to make a baritone, but stealth, you could, black, single, humbucking metal guitar sound like a banjo.
The thing is,
that would look cool.
You could do that on a regular Variax. Like, or what gets me is, like, why have they... Because Variax has different tuning options in it, right?
Yeah.
So, if you're on the standard tuning on this Shuriken...
Yeah.
Is that baritone, or is it putting it up to normal guitar tuning?
It must be baritone.
Yeah, it's got to be baritone.
But then what happens if you go to the baritone setting?
It probably won't have a baritone setting.
But it will, because it's the same inners as a regular...
Well, maybe that's just not selectable.
Yeah, maybe, I'm sure the controls are different. They're but just then, saying
will
that the
there
tech
be a
is
control
same.
To go up to normal tuning?
Probably, yeah. But it doesn't. But it's all done via... It doesn't actually move the strings, though.
No, I realise that.
Because it's all done through pitch modulation.
But that's what I'm saying. But if you're on... If you're on the controls, there's standard tuning.
Yeah.
Are you going to be in standard tuning, or are you going to be in baritone tuning?
Well, yeah, no, because it's basically like it's off.
No, it's not.
It is.
It's not off. It's still doing the processing.
I don't think it is.
It is, no, because it's generating not. The guitar sound.
No, well, I mean,
there is a way to turn it off.
Certainly the JTVs didn't work like that. The JTVs worked that you could turn... There was two parameters. You could turn on the... tuning, you could turn on the style of guitar. You didn't have to have both of them on.
No, but it's still
if
doing
you just
the
wanted modeling. To if you just wanted to use the stock pickups, does this have pickups?
Yeah, it's got one humbucker in
so
the bridge.
It will what it will do is it will have both the like the guitar modelling and the tuning off, and you can just play it like a regular baritone through that pickup, or you can turn everything, you can turn other bits on and it'll...
But what I'm saying is, if you turn the tuning off, but you're on, you know, if you're not on just the stock pickup, if you're still doing the modelling, it's still doing the tuning modelling. Yeah. It's still modelling a guitar. It doesn't matter, because you can't model the guitar through...
I think we're across paths here.
But you can turn everything off. I know
this
that.
This is academic.
But you can... Academic. No, but this is interesting because it's such a stupid idea to do a baritone modelling guitar. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Well, we don't know. We haven't seen them yet. We're going to see them and we're going to try them out, and it might be the best thing ever.
Imagine...
But
there's,
no,
I
but
bet
just conceptually, it doesn't make any sense.
No,
I think you're...
All we've seen you're
is
tying
a press
yourself
release.
Up in knots over something that isn't an
Mark.
Issue.
I'm not.
Packham.
No, I'm not, because...
So, okay, listen, here's what the deal will be.
This
will
is
be,
going to win Gear of the Year 2017.
It will be.
That's what the
weirdest
deal is.
Gear.
It's a baritone guitar.
Yes.
If you don't do anything.
Yeah.
Or what you can do is you can start using the modelling.
Yeah.
And the regular, as soon as you turn the modelling on, it cuts the humbucker.
Yeah.
And you start using the... you start using the modelling sounds as well as the modelling tuning. But if you leave it at regular... If you leave it at, like, regular tuning, that will be baritone tuning.
Okay, so...
And then,
yeah. I'm sure they'd
switch
that up.
So there'll be an up to standard.
Presumably,
to standard. Yeah.
And I bet there's a bunch of people, like maybe two or three somewhere in the world, going, you know what? I really love baritone scale length, but I only ever play in standard tuning.
But that's what I'm wondering.
This is what I'm going to be able to do now.
I'm really excited. I think it's going to be...
But I just don't ridiculous. Understand when there's already a guitar that does everything does.
It's going to be okay.
But it's not...
It's
it
right.
doesn't do the,
this is a signature
the feel
model.
Of the baritone.
Yeah, but...
Which a lot of people are into.
Exactly, man. Line 6, Variax Shuriken is going to win Gear of the Year 2017, hands down.
I bet you, by this time next week, you've forgotten about this guitar.
No,
I bet you they
No
will
one's
going
to forget about this guitar, because it is genuinely the most hilarious release
yeah,
in
true.
All the time
Weirdest
that we have
gear.
Done this.
I bet you they will sell 100%
this is the
none
new,
of these.
This is the new Marshall smartphone of...
it's...
Of,
I just...
Guitar.
Why
it doesn't
you,
matter. Let's move on
you,
to something cool.
Oh, it's breaking my brain.
Let's move on.
Speaking of Marshall smartphones, remind me, during the Patreon, I saw something amazing today that probably shouldn't go on the regular podcast. So I'll tell you
okay.
in the Patreon.
All right. Okay. Let's move on to something that's also weird that actually probably should win Weirdest Gear.
Go on.
We should talk about...
Is it on the list?
The plus pedal.
We should talk about the Plus pedal. So
I don't know what this is.
This came out of absolute nowhere, and I think, genuinely, this has been the thing I've seen the most coverage of.
Yeah, people who've there have said, this pedal has won NAMM. That headline has been used.
I have not seen anything about it.
I can't go onto any website or go onto anyone's Facebook page or anything without seeing demos of this pedal. So what this is basically, it's a piano-style sustain
pedal. Oh, yeah, no, I have seen this. Yeah. I have seen it. I didn't know what it was called, but I have seen that.
For any instrument, basically. So do what you would do with a piano sustain pedal. So you play a chord, hold that down. Obviously, it lets the strings ring out.
It's an unlatched freeze.
Yeah.
That's what it is, an unlatched electroharmonix freeze.
Yes. Same Which thing. There was sort of a version of in the freeze. There was an unlatched mode.
Yeah, yeah.
But the fact that it's in a piano sustain pedal and it does a few other clever things as well... It just looks awesome.
It sounds great. The demos I've seen of it, it was like, it's so usable.
I think for me, that's the difference, because the Freeze had a lot of features and stuff on it, but to me, it was always kind of glitchy, and it always worked really well if you were doing like weird, glitchy stuff. But this actually sounds like...
It was quite integral, smooth and organic sounding.
It sounds like, yeah, orchestral almost.
Are
yeah.
you going to be... So is it an effect... Does it...
It's just audio in and out.
Right,
basically.
Okay. Are you going to be able to use it as a expression pedal, or is it just like a...
Don't know.
I think it's its own thing.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. But I wonder if they release
it. I think
release
it literally is sampling your sound and just holding that, sampling a millisecond, and as you hold down the pedal, it plays that, it holds that until you release.
And can you play over the top
as
well?
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you play over the top whilst you're holding down.
How does that work then? How does it know when to...
It would just sample like a millisecond,
so
as you place
it. You hold it down whilst you're...
It just grabs the note. In the same way that the Freeze does, or...
I suppose because you could play over, couldn't you? Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, but it's not a new idea.
What they've done, this is like proper steampunk stuff, isn't it? They've taken something that already exists and put some cogs in it.
But it does look very good.
Completely,
and certainly the video that the company released was exactly on the money for that sort of thing. Because, of course, it's that... We've all seen it. It's that brass... piano pedal look, and certainly the video that they released had this fella in like really like nice thick woolen trousers in a good pair of like brogues.
Whoever the fella is that everyone's been talking to on the show floor is absolutely hilarious.
Really,
he's a really funny dude. It just looks very uncomfortable that all these people are suddenly like, yes, this pedal's amazing. He's kind of like, oh, I'm a bit freaked out.
Amazing. It's great when you get something like that from a new company. I know that my shop, we're trying to find out like who
can
the company
them?
Yeah, can yeah, we yeah. get them in, and just wanted to we just wanted to go on them. It looks like it they're not
they're gonna go direct or something,
I think, because it's just one product. They are direct, and I think it's stateside only. But yeah, still looks super cool.
Let's do one more thing I think we've got time for before we have to peace out on this episode and head over to
to
Patreon.
So much.
What do you want to do? What's for the regular episode? What's the thing?
Jacob, do you want to choose?
I tell you what I'm quite into talking about, which is something that has been... Well, I mean, it was announced, I think, last NAMM, but has only properly been released this year, which is the Ocean Machine.
Oh, yeah,
the
yeah.
Moore Devon Townsend Ocean Machine.
Yeah, that
so
is
we,
cool.
We appear to be talking about Moore, like...
All the time.
Every week now.
Yeah, yeah.
But now this has been on the back burner for I'm sure it was NAMM last year when they first teased it.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, because at that point Moore were, I don't even think they had released any of the double, maybe they had released some of the double pedals, but like it was only the mini pedals. That's all that was available.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they've brought out this huge like thing that's going to rival a Big Sky or a Timeline or something. It's absolutely mad. So Devon Townsend from the band Strapping Young Lad has been working closely with Moore, and apparently from what I can gather, just like no.
Yeah, it's like 2 years worth of work into this one pedal.
And it's a reverb, twin delay and looper. So you can have...
That's so cool.
By the looks of things, you can have two delays running concurrently and a reverb. Or you can have a looper and I think the reverb as well. What I think it is going to be let down by is the fact that, from what I can tell, and I'm not 100% sure, I don't know if you can use delays and the looper at the same time, which I think is a bit...
You must be able to.
I don't know, because...
I wonder if it works like the Line 6 one where...
Yeah,
the Line 6 one, the DL4, you kind of select the delay first, and whatever delay you're last on
okay, then
becomes
it,
your delay
right,
for the
okay,
looper.
I hope it does that, because from what I could see from like just sort of looking at it, it didn't look like that. I haven't watched the video this year, okay. So I'm not 100% sure. But there are 28 banks of 3 selectable presets.
Of course.
Or maybe it's not quite that many. There's a lot of presets that you can have on there, like more than most people would need. And yeah, by all accounts, the delays and the reverbs sound absolutely lush. So
it's all about the more.
I'm really looking forward to it. And yeah, it was like $300 they were reckoning. So yeah, you know, great. I mean, what's that going to be?
£350.
Well, yeah, maybe. But you know,
by the time this podcast goes out, yeah. £390.
So, but yeah, really exciting. And again, I just want to shout out to Moore for constantly pushing the boundaries of what people expect they will be able to do. I think it's very cool. Yeah.
I do want to push the episode length slightly, because I think we can't not talk about this at least briefly in the main podcast. Gretsch.
Yeah, lots of new Gretsch.
Lots of new Gretsch. Most importantly, an extension to their Players Edition series.
Okay, I didn't get time to read about any of the new Gretsch.
Well, so do you know about the Players series?
Not particularly.
See, I didn't either, and I kind of think it went under our radar. So apologies, listeners, if we have not spoken about this enough and you do know about them, because they are clearly totally super awesome. The concept of the Players Edition series is Gretsch have gone, our guitars sure do look great, but they're really not that applicable for modern
guitar
use. Yeah, well, like, as in, you know,
they're not very hardy.
They're, you know, they're a bit breaky,
yeah.
And you can't...
Just
because
they're, like... It's,
because they're big,
big bodies
things.
And it's relatively thin,
exactly,
slices of wood.
Don't take pedals that well, again, because they're hollow,
yeah,
and stuff like that.
A little bit feedbacky.
Yeah, exactly. So they've gone, you know, let's make our guitars look as super cool and awesome as they do, but secretly make them really modern. So the Players series features a massive center block, like a huge center block,
yeah, yeah,
to make it more solid.
I do know these guitars.
Locking
these
tuners and a couple of other modern features that are super cool that have escaped me at the moment. But like locking tuners and the center block, I think, are a great idea.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
of course they're more affordable as well. They're really like Gretsch aiming a guitar at a market. Line 6, did you hear that? But they've really aimed this the player series at, you know, at the gigging musician. And
yeah,
yeah, the new models they've brought out, again, like Gretsch, just known for interesting colors as well. But
there's like a Hot Rod Purple, isn't there?
Yeah, yes.
Oh, so
it's
good.
So good. It's a great range, another brilliant range of like 800-ish pound Gretsches that are just, there's something for everyone in there. I really think they're brilliant.
Nice.
And it's kind of everything that, you know, we loved the, what was the series called from last year?
Streamliner.
We loved the Streamliner series, but they were sort of a cheap and cheerful range. This is
there,
kind
there
of...
also wasn't, and this is the problem I do tend to have with Gretsch, is that there doesn't ever, there's rarely like much, like the range doesn't always make sense.
Yeah.
Like there's not always,
it's okay, just usually like
here's a load of stuff, and some of them are this much money and some of them are this much money, and we can't really tell you why, it just is what it is.
Yeah.
That's my only issue with Gretsch, is it is a bit like they just sort of seem to throw prices at the board and see what happens. Do you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah, absolutely. And actually one more thing, because I think it is important.
Okay.
Strandberg announced.
We're going to talk about Strandberg in the Patreon episode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to wrap this up now. We're going to head over and to do some more stuff on patreon.com/guitar nerds. We're going to talk about, I'm just going to have a look at the list and run down the other things we're going to talk about.
Well, we're going to talk about Strandberg, Ormsby. We're going to talk about Kiesel and Carvin.
Is there anything that doesn't look like a sideboard?
Oh my god. Oh, I hate you.
We're going to talk about the new Blackstar Fly Free Bluetooth.
I hate you.
Yeah.
We should talk about the PRS J mod.
We're going to talk about some PRS stuff.
And the other amps they've put out.
Yeah, indeed. Going to talk about some stuff from Atomic. Going to talk about stuff. We're going to talk about a Binson Echo Rec.
Oh, mate.
We'll talk about it in a bit.
I'm so excited.
And also, the thing that I think is going to win Secret Gear of the Year, which I didn't see advertised anywhere, and I just caught in a bit of a video, the Power Stage 170 by Seymour Duncan. I will tell you more about that over on the Patreon episode. Patreon.com/guitar nerds, where from as little as $1 a month, you can support Guitar Nerds. From as little as $5 a month, you will get the extra half an hour of Patreon content every week, as well as all the things we're doing, like Branton's Rant On, Joe Branton's angry half an hour or whatever it is, 20 minutes.
You don't believe it.
Talking about things that he doesn't like, and also loads of interviews and stuff coming up throughout the year. We're going to try and do maybe 2 or 3 interviews every month with kind of players or people in the industry and things like that. So for $5 a month, you're getting an absolute bucket load of extra Guitar Nerds content. And then from $10 a month, you get your name read out thusly.
Double Crunch plus Thomas and Trust of Martyr Bladthorn's Carlos Manson Andrew Martyr Trosser to the Short Andrew McKenzie Brad Pitt Paul Corrigan Jack Potroy Will Clare Scott O'Brien Matt Quine Phil Thompson Rory Anstey Snowball and Colin Mambleson.
That was good. Men behaving badly with a horrendous voice over the top. If you've enjoyed the show this week, do make sure you follow us everywhere. Go to the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum, where you can interact and send in questions and stuff. Follow us on Twitter @guitar nerds, on Instagram @guitar nerds, and on YouTube guitar nerds. Videos.
Bangarang.
Indeed. Thanks very much for joining this week, whether you've listened on the podcast or whether you've watched us on YouTube. I hope the streaming's been okay. It looked like it locked up a little bit at the end there, but I think
it was more or less okay. A little bit ropey. We need to figure something out, but...
Yeah, all good. Pay for us to get better internet and it will be fine. With that, we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Cheers, gang.
Bye.